Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden, and this is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century, and we use God's incredible word to provide a little more fuel for your spiritual journey. I'm glad to be joined on this Friday by my friend and co-worker, Roger Shouse. We've been talking over the course of the last couple of weeks now about being heaven bound. That's the name of the podcast. Heaven is our destination. Bound involves the idea of being on a journey. And Roger, last Friday, we talked about even before we drive 1 mile, if we're going to reach our destination, we've got to be pointed in the right direction. We want to move from there to think about the idea of having a spiritual dashboard. We talk a lot about that, the two of us, in sermons, Bible classes. Why, when it comes to being a Christian, why a dashboard? Why does that matter?
Dashboard actually came to us as a business concept. And in the, my understanding in the business community and business world, dashboard just gives a quick look at sales or productivity. That concept was borrowed from a literal dashboard in our cars. So when we get in our cars and we're driving down the road, our dashboard, no matter how fancy the car is or how simple the car is, basically it tells us three major components. There is the temperature gauge, which tells us the internal workings of the engine. It tells us how hot or how cold the car is. There is the fuel gauge, and that's the input, and that's going to tell us how far we can go based upon how much fuel we have. And then there's a speedometer. That's the output. That's telling us how fast we're traveling. And those three components, the internal, the input, and the output, we have kind of fashioned and to look at the concept of a disciple, particularly as we think about this idea of being heaven-bound. When we think about this concept of, let's say, the output or the input, the fuel or the speed, you can have the best GPS. You can know where you want to go. As we borrowed last week in our lesson, we talked about wanting to go up to Cleveland. So we get our car packed. We're all ready to go. We've got tickets to the ball game. We're excited about going to Cleveland. We get in the car and it won't start because there is no fuel. We're going nowhere. And so direction shows us the way we need to go. But then the dashboard, the internal, the external, the output, the input, all of that is necessary for us to be able to actually get moving so we can make that destination.
So over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about some of the output. We'll talk about temperature gauge. What's that mean for a disciple of Christ? How can I make sure that that temperature is what it ought to be? And we'll talk about the speedometer. Let's start basics with fuel and the fuel that is necessary in order to be a healthy, fully functioning, God-glorifying disciple in 2020. When I think about this idea of fuel, of course, that relates as disciples to our hearts. Our hearts are the engines of our beings as disciples. I think of Luke chapter 18. Jesus is right in the heart of his ministry, and he has told disciples and skeptics a variety of different parables. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Luke records for us, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. It's a powerful idea. We'll talk about prayer in just a moment. But first, the idea of losing heart, kind of the idea of running out of gas. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Have you ever been on the road and run out of gas?
Actually, I haven't.
Have you? Oh, you haven't? Okay. Thankfully, I haven't been on the road. I have been in a parking lot and run out of gas. But when you think of the idea of running out of gas, from a biblical point of view, maybe that's losing heart. If you and I, Roger, let's say we're in the back of the auditorium, it's Sunday morning, and we're watching as people come in, and you can just tell by looking at someone something isn't right. And you might look at me and say, it looks like they just have lost heart. What do you think Jesus means in Luke 18 by that phrase?
That expression really means to be discouraged. Paul would use a similar word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he talked about the outer man and the inner man. The outer man decayeth, he says, but we do not lose heart. Even though that happens, the inner man is getting renewed day by day. So the idea of being discouraged, the idea of just being physically, spiritually, emotionally beat up. You're just walking with a tail between your legs. Your tongue is hung out. You are just all out. And so when we think about this idea of fuel, what we're emphasizing is what we're putting into our hearts. So to make this journey, we have to be pouring into our hearts the right kind of fuel. Now, I did do this. You asked me if I've ever run out of fuel. Not too long ago, I went to a brand new gas station, and they didn't have the pumps labeled. So I just pumped in gas, and I drove about 20 feet, and my car went dead. What I put in my car was diesel fuel. I didn't know that. And so all my tank was full, but it was the wrong kind of fuel. And so spiritually, it's the same thing. We live in times where there is so much information. There's so much social media. We can spend hours and hours on Facebook and chasing this and chasing that. We can get into some of these shows on TV where it's just one after the other after the other. And we've spent a whole day, but have we put in the proper fuel that's going to get us to heaven?
All sorts of things have been pumped into my heart, but my heart isn't the better for it. My heart hasn't been drawn closer to God. My heart hasn't ignited with zeal for walking with God. I think you're exactly right. It's never been easier to fill our hearts up, but is it the sort of fuel that's going to help us be heaven bound? I know you have a couple of other scriptures in mind. Just thinking through that Luke 18 verse 1 idea, Jesus tells them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. How does Jesus help me avoid running out of fuel? Well, in simplest of terms, it's right there. He told them a parable. He told them something. An absolutely basic level habits for the disciple of Jesus. I need to be in the habit of allowing God to tell me things, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's in the middle of the day during a lunch break, whether it's one of the last things of the day. Disciples of Jesus for centuries have built the habit of allowing God to tell me something, opening up my word and reading, allowing him to have some input. But also there in Luke 18, he taught and he encouraged his disciples to pray. When I open up God's word, I'm allowing God to tell me something. When I bow my head and I lift my heart in prayer, I'm talking to God. But when we think about prayer and the habit of prayer, it's fuel. I've heard you say before, it's not a spare tire. What do you mean by that?
So oftentimes, we drive about town, we don't think about our spare tire. The only time we need a spare tire is when we have a flat. And for a lot of folks, the only time I'm going to pray is when there's something wrong or there's an emergency. Emergency passes, I throw that spare tire in my trunk, I go on my way, and I don't need it again. So I only need God when there's a problem. Crisis passes, I don't need God. But when we look in the scriptures, we look at the examples of Jesus, we look at what is written in scriptures, we see that prayer is more than just asking God. It's more than saying, God, I need this. Prayer is not to be viewed as the adult's Christmas list. Here's what I need, God. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about praising God through prayer or thanking God in everything, as Thessalonians were told. And so it's the idea that I am talking to God. I'm inviting God into my life. I'm inviting God into my world. And we need that. On our own, we don't know the right direction. On our own, we're helpless. But we include God by talking to him, by honoring him, by praising him, and by remembering who he is. He's not one of us. He is God. And by doing that, it helps us to have the central position that God is should have in our life and in our world.
The beautiful thing is when we do that, God is glorified, but our hearts are fueled up. Jesus, in Luke 18, wants to help people not lose heart. So what does he do? He teaches them to hear from God in the Word. Allowing that word to sink down into our hearts. He reminds them, he encourages them, talk to God. You hear from God. You talk to God. You build those habits and you're going to grow in God. That's Luke 18. What else did you have in mind?
Well, you know, 2 Peter chapter 3, as Peter ends his letter, he uses the expression, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A person that's very serious about working out, he doesn't just go to the gym whenever he happens to drive by it. He is very disciplined. He oftentimes will have specific hours of the day. I'm going to get up in the morning and hit the gym before I go to work. And by those regular habits, that discipline, over a course of time, he strengthens himself, he loses weight, he gets what he's after. Applying that spiritually, it's the same thing. So if we just kind of haphazardly read the Bible whenever we remember, just reading a little bit of this passage, a little bit of that passage, we'll get some, but we won't get very much. But when we make diligent, committed habits, every morning, every evening, I'm going to read a chapter, two chapters a day, working my way through this book of the Bible. Every morning, every evening, I'm going to bow and pray to God, really talk to him. In the morning before the day begins, saying, God, this is what I got scheduled. Help me through these days. I've got some difficult things. I need your help. At the end of the day, to thank God for making me safe, for all the blessings of the day. But doing that day in and day out, day in and day out, the person will get stronger and stronger, and he's going to notice his fuel tank is getting higher and higher. He's putting in the proper things. Now, to this, I think we need to just look at this realistically. Like a glass, we would pour some water in. Maybe you have a glass and it already has something in there. You can only put so much in there. You may have to empty out some stuff before you can put in some other things. So it is with our hearts. So it is with our day. There's only 24 hours in a day. And so we're not given more hours in a day. We can't bank more hours. The busy executive, the bored college student, the president of the United States, all of us have the exact same number of hours in a day. And so what that tells us is, then I've got to make some changes in my life. I've got to make some adjustments in my life. I've got to make time for God. I've got to put time to make these habits work in my life. Because if I'm not diligent about doing those things, the year will pass, I will be older, but nothing really changes.
You know, I don't know if you've spent much time out west, but one thing, of course, the further west you drive, especially as you get into that desert area, gas stations come to be further and fewer in between. I mean, where we are here in southern Indiana, every corner just about has some place to get gas. And maybe all of this talk of habits just doesn't seem that pressing on a ordinary Friday morning or Monday, whenever it is that you're listening to this episode. But you live long enough and you come to realize that there are times where the road between gas stations comes to be really, really dark and difficult and lonely. there are beautiful examples in the Bible of people who had strong habits. And a lot of times the reason that we read about a Daniel opening up his windows, exercising that habit of prayer, is because he was going through a really tough time in life. There wasn't a spiritual gas station on every corner in Babylon. He was on his own. And it was up to him to lean on the fuel that was already in our hearts. If I wait until life gets hard to develop a habit, I'm going to find myself in spiritual trouble very quickly.
Well, we remember how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man and the foolish man. Wise man builds house upon the rock. Foolish man builds house upon the sand. We often talk about the differences there, but there's some similarities. To both men, it rained. To both men, there was a wind. To both men, there was a flood. And so how they built their foundations determined how they weathered the storm. But the thing we have to see with those illustrations is you can't wait till it's pouring rain. You got one hand on the door trying to keep it closed from the wind, another hand with a bucket trying to bail water, and then you're trying to lay your foundation. It's too late. You lay your foundation in the sunshine, not in the storm. And so each week, as we are going through this day, next day, the next day, I'm doing things that will build that foundation so when storms come, and they will come, I can stand because I know what I believe. I know God. I know the right choices to make. But what happens is when you don't have that foundation and here comes the storms, what do we believe? What does God say? What should I do? And the choices then are based upon emotion and feelings and not upon what's right with what God says.
So it's wise to think about storms eventually coming and being preventative. But I know you wanted to say before we're done for this particular episode that habits not only help us fuel up and get ready for perhaps difficult days that are ahead, but they really breathe life into us. What, when you think of habits and life from the standpoint of the Bible, what's the connection there?
Well, the connection is as we pour God's word in our hearts, as we spend a day with Jesus, I like that expression. We open up the Gospels and we just look at a day in the life of Jesus. We see how compassionate he was. We see how he was a servant. We see how forgiving he is. It's hard to spend a day with Jesus and that doesn't change you. And so as we think about these habits, it's more than just, okay, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour every day. It's more than I'm just going to pray to God. We're talking about the very ingredients that's going to change your character. It's going to rewire your house. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be a kinder person. You're going to be a more thoughtful person. You're going to be a more spiritual person. All these things come about as a result of pouring God's word into my heart. It is the proper fuel to make our direction, to make our destination.
It is life-giving. His word is living and active. When we pray, we are praying to the living God. When we are a part of his body, the church, we're a part of a living body of which Jesus is the head. And when that life gets into my heart, living things grow. That's why Jesus describes himself as a vine, us as the branches. He describes us as sacrifices, but sacrifices that are alive. What when you think of fueling up through these habits, some closing words here, how does that help us grow?
What's interesting, how many living things, as you just mentioned, God compares us to? Sheep, a branch on the vine, a living sacrifice. There are some ingredients within life that just happens. And so whether you talk about a tree, whether you talk about a little boy, whether you talk about a puppy dog, whether you talk about a disciple of Jesus, three things are essential. If you have the proper diet, There's that input or that fuel. If we exercise, that's the output. And then if we fight diseases, whether we talk about that little boy, that little dog, or that little twig in the ground that's going to grow, they will grow naturally because that's the ingredients God puts in them. You can put a brick on top of a little boy's head, but if he's got the proper diet and exercise and you fight diseases, that little boy is going to grow up to be a man because that's the way God made us. The same thing happens spiritually. Proper diet, exercise, using what we've learned and become that what God wants us to be, and then fight the diseases that Satan throws at us, becoming strong, we will grow in Jesus Christ.
It's a beautiful thing given to us by God. Heaven bound. Heaven is our destination. We are on a journey. God has defined the direction. It's up to us to follow his lead, stay on the path. But we hope this little talk of introducing the dashboard gets you thinking about your fuel. Your fuel going into this weekend. Your fuel as this next week, Lord willing, unfolds. You need God's fuel for your heart in order to be heaven bound. And so we would encourage you this weekend, think about your habits. Are you in the habit of praying? Are you in the habit of allowing God to tell you something from his word? If you haven't yet subscribed to the Jump Starts Daily, that's a great habit that comes right into your inbox. You can subscribe to those at jumpstartsdaily.com. You can read them on the church website, charlestownroad.org. We appreciate you listening to this podcast. We hope that you're developing the habit of hearing from this podcast, spiritual fuel for your journey on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We appreciate you listening today. If you haven't taken the time to rate and review the podcast, we would appreciate that so much. If you do that on Google or iTunes, it really helps us get the word out. If you enjoyed this episode and you think someone else would benefit from hearing, then we would love for you to share it on social media. We really believe this is a powerful tool that can help you live life the way it was meant to be. Roger, any closing thoughts for the day?
Let's start getting our habits. Fill the tank.
Fill the tank. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to you for listening to the Heavenbound podcast. We hope it has helped you set your mind on things above. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.